The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yeah, Gus, Jude, and Wendell here on Triple M, driving you home. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M. Friday afternoon, you and me in Sydney, Jude, but the big fella's up there for Magic Round. Del, how are you, mate, and how was last night?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon was really good, and after our show, just quite one for me because we've obviously got a big show today. It's Magic Round. You know what I'm like. If I've got a lot on, I like to pace myself. The old Del would have been a bit helter-skelter, but I'm excited. I get to see my son up here. He's moved into his new unit. Have I helped him? No, he hasn't needed my help because my wife's helping him.
Beautiful.
But I'm just doing, making sure that I do the right things with Triple M, and that's what I'm doing.
Good like on you, big
Del.
Fella.
I like New Del.
I like New Del. I like Fake Castell. I think everyone
but
does.
I am missing the snack machine. I'm missing my – it's probably missing me too.
Yeah, it certainly is. What about Friday the 13th, boys? You worry about that type of thing?
No.
No worries.
Freaky Friday?
What about a porn star from Italy? I've never come across this person. But an Aussie journo accidentally tagged an Italian porn star artist – instead of Anthony Albanese. Anthony Albanese shares a nickname with an Italian porn cartoonist. An Aussie journalist and political editor at news.com, her name is Samantha Maiden, was tweeting about the politics as she does and mistakenly tagged the Italian Albo instead of Anthony Albanese.
I wonder how much that's actually happening. Surely it's not the first time that he's been tagged in it.
Well, it's quite interesting though, isn't it, to think you know, when you talk about these type of things and politics and so forth, there's always that sort of, I don't know, that feeling around politics that can be a little bit like that, a little bit sinister and a little bit, you know, stuff going on without us really knowing.
Oh, come on, mate.
What?
I don't know about that. I don't know. I think you're just trying to create a scenario here where our politicians are a bit like loosey-goosey.
there's been a bit of underhanded stuff at times, hasn't
there? Exactly right. I'm not saying that he's involved in that sort of stuff, but he is looking good now. He's slick and he's looking fine. I reckon if he did come out, more chance of probably getting elected. Boys, this morning I was able to catch up with Phil Kearns, who was the bid chief getting the World Cup rugby to Australia. Absolutely huge news over there in Dublin. In the rugby, 2027 is the men's World Cup, and in 2029 we have the women's World Cup. So absolutely fantastic. Here's my chat with Kearnsy. We've got the man on the line right now. He's the bid boss, and the job is done and dusted, Kearnsy. You must be absolutely wrapped, mate. It is front page, back page here in Australia. It's just fantastic news, mate. Well done.
Mate, it's wonderful news for Australian rugby, but it's just great news for Australia as well. I mean, you remember 2003 and what it did for the country and the amount of tourists that came in and the colour and the games and the excitement and the ridiculous stuff that even happened in non-rugby states and they embraced it. And it was just so good. And that's what we're going to bring back again in 2027 and 2029.
You must be so excited, mate, because, you know, so much work goes into it. And I know you were confident and I know a lot of people were saying we were favourites, but not until the job was done and not until those names were read out. What was the relief like for you and the team?
Well, I've been saying to people for a while, it's like, you know, you're 20 points up with 5 minutes to play and stuff can still go wrong, you know. And, you know, you can pass it to a winger and they'll drop it. And, you know, you don't want that. So we've kept it tight in the forwards for the last few months and just trucked it up the field, and it's been really good. So, but it is, you know, it's a funny feeling. We knew this announcement was coming for the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, but still, you don't want to jinx yourself. You want to just stay sort of humble and quiet and make sure you're just ticking the boxes as you go. And whilst we knew it was sort of 99% in the bag, it's not until I actually read your name out, and it was unanimous. It was a 100% decision from all of world rugby that Australia should host in 27 and 29.
So 27 for the men and 29 for the women. So important to make sure that we get both men and women the World Cups back to back.
Well, the strongest part of our game at the moment is in terms of the growth is women's rugby, and the amount of girls we've got flooding into the game is just incredible. So we're trying to create pathways for them. And, you know, I was up doing a coaching clinic in Brisbane about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and there were three girls who are about 15, 16 years of age, and their goal was for the three of them to stay together and be the front row of the World Cup and of the Australian team in 2029. That was their goal. And what a wonderful thing for kids to be able to imagine and believe that they can be at a World Cup in their own soil. And I think it's not only going to be important for kids coming through, but also in terms of the way that we're keeping some players. Australian rugby's signed about 15 players now over the last 3 months of guys that could have gone overseas, but they want to stay because they want to play in a World Cup. Mm. They want to be part of the British Lions that we play against in 2025. And those are really rare events in rugby that you get to do, and we're keeping players because of it.
Giving young kids hope like that, that's a beautiful story of those three girls that want to stick together and stuff now. And now they've actually got a pathway, haven't they? The runway is set for them to be able to go and do what they've always wanted to do, which 15, 20 years ago just wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, kids dream. We all dream as kids what we want to do and what we want to be. But to be able to have this now in concrete and cement that they can actually do it. They can really do it. You know, they might have thought about it before. It might have been in their dreams. But now those dreams become real. And, you know, kids now that are 14, 15, 16 years of age, boys and girls, you know, in 5 years' time or 7 years' time, they could really be in the Wallabies. You know, Jordan Petaia played his first test. I think he was 18 years of age. And so there are, you know, boys and girls out there now that can literally achieve their dreams and do it on home soil.
Kernsie, it's absolutely fantastic. Before I let you go, I know it's very late there in Dublin. You want to get some sleep. I'm surprised that you're standing as well as you are, mate. You haven't celebrated as hard as I thought you might.
Mate, there won't be any sleep going on, let me tell you. It's still light here in Dublin, believe it or not. It's some ridiculous hour at night. I think it's 10 o'clock at night or something like that now, 9:30. And, we're here with the World Rugby guys. Where I might be standing outside of a club, doing this interview. But it's been a really, the collegiate environment, because England got the 25 World Women's World Cup, mm-hmm. and USA have got the 31 and 33 Men's and Women's World Cup. And the environment between the three of us, the Poms and the Aussies and the US, is just really incredible that we want to work together to deliver a better World Cup every time the next one takes place. It's all about improvement and about doing things better and about growing our game. And the collegiate environment's amazing. And actually, the US are quite chuffed because Joe Biden sent a letter of support on their behalf. And his nephew, as a guy called Rob Carney, who was fullback for Ireland. Mm. And so he's got a connection in the rugby community as well.
That is fantastic, Kernsie. Well, I'll let you get back into the club, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you're back in Australia, mate, and we can talk a little bit more then, and obviously in the lead-up to it as well. It's absolutely fantastic. Just a shot in the arm that rugby needed. It's on its improve anyway, but this is just perfect, mate, and congratulations to you and your bid team. You got the job done, mate. Well done.
And the next Guinness I'm going to have for you, Gus.
Good on you, mate. Love you, Kernsie. Take care, mate.
See you, mate.
See you, Kernsie. Bye. There you go, Phil
Kearns.
That's
great, mate. Thank you, brother. Oh.
So there you go, boys. Phil Kearns, obviously the bid chief, absolutely wrapped, yeah. And how fantastic to have another World Cup here in Australia.
Well, it's great. You know, one thing I've always said, like some of the great guys in rugby union, you know, sometimes they don't get enough credit. And Phil Kearns, obviously, you know, led us in that World Cup in 99. But also, you know, people talk about John Eales, but Phil Kearns, for me, he always gives back to the grassroots level. He's a bloke that I've had a little bit to do with. And to have him at the helm. But I reckon the best thing, I read an article, mate, we can't afford to waste some money from that. From 2003, we wasted that money. I don't know how we didn't have any money from 2003. It was just after the 2000 World Cup, okay, yeah. Olympic Games. Yeah. And then so everyone got on the back of the excitement of that. Obviously, England beat us in the final. England deserved to win that final. Unfortunately, we didn't play our best. It was wet conditions. But guys like Phil Kearns, he's the reason why rugby, it stayed afloat. But we've got to cash in now for the men's and the women.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And grassroots boys too.
And the British Lions are coming the 2 years earlier too. So there's a double whammy.
Now also the big push to who hosts the final. So yeah, it's 60,000 or above. It's got to be either a core stadium, Optus Stadium, or the MCG. So each state government will be
going. We're not giving it to people in WA. No, no thanks. Gus, it's either got to be the MCG or a core, which is obviously the old the big stadium out there at Homebush. So anyway, it's fantastic. And the fact is we've got the World Cup in 2027 for the men, 2029 for the ladies. So fantastic work. Coming up next, Del, you're going to talk us through your greatest opponents of all time.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't many.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. On Triple F, yeah, baby.
Welcome back to The Rush Hour with Del, Jude and Gus. And yesterday we did Jude's number one opponents, all those opponents that you remembered, the ones that really tested you. It's fantastic to go back through those memories. Yeah, yeah. So today, Del, it's all about your favourite, best opponents, the ones that you obviously look back on now with fond memories and maybe not so fond memories. Let's start the ball rolling with this guy.
Darren Lockout, he kicks. Slater's picked it up. Was he onside? Slater down the ground. He kicks again. He'll get there. He's over. Billy Slater. He has scored one of the great Origin tries.
Billy Slater, mate.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I was thinking of players that I played through in the 90s and that, but when I came back to rugby league after my time out of the game, Billy Slater, he changed the game. He changed, you know, the way that fullbacks played after Darren Lockyer. And it was one of those things where you just have a look at it and just have a look at the way that the game's evolved because of him. If you look at Pappenhausen now, Drinkwater and the way they played, you know, Jerome Hughes, he was the guy that started it. But also, my job, Wayne Bennett said to me, guys, mate, I want you, if Billy Slater sweeps at the back, I want you to terrorise him. But also, you always worried about the little kicks in behind. Just the way that he saw the game, you know, his peripheral. He was a great opponent. You know, I know he didn't play on me individually, but you'd always have to look where he was. And then when you'd sweep as a winger, as a back three, you'd always have to worry about Billy on the little chip kicks and that. So, mate, he was unbelievable. Changed the game. Queensland coaches here,
What about Immortal, do you think?
Oh, yeah, he's certainly in the conversation. There's no doubt there.
What about a bloke having a red mark on his head for being one of the greatest of all time? This bloke.
And then a little push out towards Lomu. And Lomu's chasing hard. And the bounce has gone to Little. Cronfeld. Lomu. Three for Lomu. That's the second half start they were looking for.
The late great.
Absolute barnstorm.
Mate, he just changed the game. Like, someone to be 110, 150 kilos plus, changed the game with his power and pace. But also, when he played in the sevens, to play in sevens, to have that motor, to do what he did, was unbelievable. But even to play against him, can I tell you, there was blokes who had an aura about him. And I remember one day when I first went to the Queensland Reds, and then Ben Chin wanted to play on him. And then I sort of looked beside me, and Jonah, I sort of looked, first time I saw him in person, he kept looking, and kept going. I think he was like 6'5", 6'6", or something. He was something ridiculous. He wasn't human, but obviously he changed the game, and he was the king of the wing. Just one name. All you had to say was Lomu.
Yeah.
Was he one of the key drivers for you personally to play against him to move to rugby union?
Yeah, mate, we love Campese and all these guys and the Ella brothers and, you know, all those guys, Timmy Horan and that. But one of the main reasons I switched because I wanted to play against Jonah Lomu. You know, I got to play against him twice, and he was an absolute gentleman. One thing that people don't know, that in that fight for life, we're actually going to fight each other. I wasn't real keen on fighting Jonah Lomu because I'm thinking, if I get knocked out in the boxing ring by Jonah Lomu, I'm going to be on YouTube for the rest of my life. You know? And he is one big, powerful unit.
Yeah, he sure was. Yeah. And switching back to rugby league now, a man that we all love in here.
Lockyer, charge down, no knock on. Fiddler's going to score. Fiddler, his fair level. Comes with a try.
So we've gone Billy Slater, Richie McCaul, Lomu, and now Freddie Fittler.
Well, look, for me, when I came into grade in 93, I'm sitting back at home, you know, through like 1991, watching a young Brad Fittler going, this bloke's a freak. He's in grade 12. He's playing centre against Mel Meninga. You know, he won a premiership. He's on kangaroo tours and stuff. And this bloke should be, you know, when we did our game plan, it was always, oh, watch Freddie's left footstep, watch Freddie this, watch Freddie that. And even by the time he finished his career, one of the best leaders. We won the World Cup in 2000. We had a pretty fair side in the World Cup 2000. Let me tell you, Freddie was one of the best captains ever because he let you do what you had to do. As long as you came to training, you knuckled down, and then you went out there. And, mate, he led from the front. Mate, Freddie Fittler, he's got to be in that immortal conversation. Let's start having real conversations and get Brad Fittler involved there because, mate, he has won premierships. He's changed the game, mate. Mm. What a freak.
I love how he's just controlling all the egos and personalities within the New South Wales Blues and brought them together. Just fantastic.
He's a class act. Thanks a lot, big fella. Absolutely love that. Billy Slater, you wanted to talk about him just briefly.
Well, when you did mention Billy Slater, later. I'll leave it for next week. Remind me that I'll tell you a story about Vegas.
Vegas.
Billy Slater in
Vegas.
When
the Swans ran into the Melbourne Storm in Vegas.
You know the story. Whatever happens in Vegas.
Yeah, true. Stays in Vegas.
However, if we're doing a radio show, we can bring it out. Thanks a lot, Del. Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell and boys, I don't know if you've caught up lately with Greg Norman and what he's trying to do with Saudi Arabia to build a whole new golf set up over there, a whole new
breakaway
tour and a breakaway tour with obviously the best players from Europe and the USA. Well, he's come into a bit of stick, and here's an interview that he took just a couple of days ago.
The fact of the matter is the same people who stone women to death, who chop journalists up into small pieces, who chemically castrate homosexuals, who 2 months ago, as I said, executed 81 men on the same day, they are your bosses.
No, they're not my bosses. We're independent. I do not answer to Saudi Arabia. I do not answer to MBS. Let's just get that straight. My investment
people dollars, think that you do. People no. think that the money is going directly from Mohammed bin Salman's pockets into the pockets of
no,
the players.
It's not. I can categorically tell you that, that is not the case. I do not answer to MBS.
This stinks a bit. I mean, it shows that everyone has a price in that sense. I don't like it. If you've got any inkling that that sort of thing has occurred or is occurring, got to steer clear of it. And I'm glad that there has been a bit of a pushback from some of the PGA players.
I think it's about morals and, you know, your moral compass. Like, we know it's blood money. So we all know that. We've seen the stories time and time again. I don't want to go head-to-head with the Saudi Arabian people, but, like, or you know, or obviously the big dogs. But, like, we know what it is. Phil Mickelson came into a bit of trouble on the back of this. Mm. And then he quickly lost a couple of sponsors. And can I just say this, mate? I love Greg Norman. He's an icon of world sport, icon of Australia. As if he needs to go and get some more money. Like, it's... He's filling his pockets, but look, I think at some stage, you know, what we're going through in the world at the moment, he doesn't need this, and I can't back him in this.
There's a couple of $1 billion being guaranteed, so where's that $2 billion come from? That's the first thing, and that's why the journalist there, and if we played more of that, he really pushed and pushed, and Greg kept saying, no, I can categorically say, well, I don't think he can. Mm. He doesn't know where that money's come
It'll
from.
It'll tarnish his legacy, though, isn't it?
Is there not enough money in the game of golf anyway? Whether it's European tour, and then you go to the American tour, right? Asian tour has also got a lot of money, so... This will definitely tarnish him. And I think, like you said off the top, Jude, a lot of the big players, and that's what you need. It's all about getting your Tiger Woods and your Phil Mickelsons and all these guys over there. If they decide not to go, which I think they're going to, because they've got more money than God, this whole thing hopefully will just go away.
Well, it's similar to that breakaway from the Champions League that was
touted
as well.
4 days.
Exactly. And it needs people to say, hang on, as much as this carrot has been shown in front of us, we're going to turn our back on that and for the greater good of the game and also, as Dale said, about a moral compass.
Yeah, it's nice to see a little bit of moral compass coming into all things, especially, as Dale said, of the couple of years we've just had. So, Greg Norman, like you say, iconic Australian figure, and at the moment we're looking at him and it's not good.
Just keep walking your dog on the beach. That's what I like to see, Greg.
Yeah, or get your gear off. You're still looking magnificent, brother.
Unbelievable.
Don't worry about that. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Jude, Gus and Del. Time now for this.
Whether you're on the train, in the car or on the buses, it's Gus's Big Sports Quiz. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first 4 orders. Minimum order value $20. New DoorDash customers only.
Yes, and the quiz is all about beating me, and Mark from Sutherland is up this afternoon. G'day, Mark. How are you, mate?
Gussie, my man. I've missed you. I've missed Bill. I've missed Jude at the A-team.
Oh, wow. Sensational, Mark. Great to have you on board, mate. And it's time for you to take down Gussie for the $100 DoorDash voucher. You ready?
I'd never take him down, but I hope I win.
Yes, you'll take him down, mate. I
Perfect,
want you to.
Mate. And you've got Del in your corner.
Anything can happen, brother.
You've got Del. He's got one question up his sleeve for you, all right, mate? So here we go. Mate. Gus, first up.
Mm-hmm.
The A-League finals are just about to kick off. Who won the minor premiership?
They went back-to-back, Melbourne City.
Correct.
Oh, righty-o, mate. Righty-o, big noter.
He's on that. Oh, he loves his foot.
Gussie's on fire.
He loves his foot. Yeah. All right, Mark. Which former Warrior makes his debut for Souths against
Cody
his old...
Nikarima,
you are all man. Over it. Great
mate,
stuff.
You've got Gus. I can
Why
tell
don't you give him the answer? Oh, is that hey, simple, that
mate,
question?
Hey, please. He knows his sport.
Why don't you mind your manners, mate?
Here we go. Gussie.
Yeah.
Who became the first player ever to defeat Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic at the same tournament on clay this weekend?
The 18-year-old Spaniard. Oh,
gun. Absolute gun.
Absolute gun. Django or something like that.
Carlos Alcaraz. The new superstar of clay.
Yeah, brilliant.
Was he that good? Was he that good?
He's gone.
Mate, you beat Nadal and...
Yeah, I know, but was he that good or he just got lucky?
Oh, no, he's that good.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Which NFL star has agreed to a $375 million deal?
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Dear turn.
No wonder he's not retiring.
This is over.
Look, he's on fire. Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to make more money in 10 years doing commentary than he is actually playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
All right, Gus, you need this.
We don't even know if he's going to be any good. He's a bit of a bumbler and fumbler, isn't he?
Not really. Nah. Let's go.
You get a gig on this show.
He did a 10-part ESPN series, so
that's true, yeah.
Okay, Gus.
Yeah.
Where did Lewis Hamilton finish in the Miami Grand Prix on Monday?
I reckon he was in the points, sixth.
What?
Wow. I've jagged that out of the Chiminda.
Oh, he's pulled it out of nowhere, Mark.
How bad are the Mercedes going, by the way?
Okay, Mark.
For the win.
It's magic round this weekend. Which Storm star has been ruled out for the next month with injuries?
Oh, then it'd have to be Pappenhausen.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Bang, that is the $100 DoorDash voucher, mate.
Mark, way too good there, Jude. What about that $100 DoorDash voucher? To go to Mark, don't miss a minute of footy action and get 30% off your first four orders with the NRL's exclusive delivery partner, DoorDash.
Reggie from Big Brother joins us next.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. One of our favourite shows is back, Big Brother. And one of our famous people from the show is back as well.
Our next guest might want to change her Wikipedia page. It describes her as being small in stature with, quote, an unusual nasal intonation. Let's fact check that.
Oh, I don't know.
Kinda. We'd rather describe her as the fun-loving, vibrant winner of Big Brother 2003, the first female to win it. She was the one who owned the fish and chip shop in Tassie. I've always wanted to do this. This is Big Brother. Reggie, to the Triple M studios, please.
G'day, Reggie. Welcome to our show. How are you?
Oh, I love that. Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, it's
that was the real Big Brother voice.
Well, he's done well there, our man. But you know, we absolutely loved you back in 2003. Can't believe it was nearly 20 years ago. And of course, you've been tipped by people to win this all over again. Tell us about the experience this time around.
Oh, this time's quite different. Like the first time I was in the house, I was just laying by the pool and I wanted a holiday. And this time it's just like, oh my goodness, it's just brutal and the challenges are so hard. It's crazy.
What was it like actually? What's it like stepping back into the house? I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, you step back into, say, a primary school or you're old something and that familiarity, but also so vastly different now.
Yeah, look, the minute that me and Tim stepped back into the house was just such an awesome feeling. It was like, it was very surreal. It's like we couldn't believe that we were back there again. And oh my gosh, it was just, it was just so good. It was so good to be back. It really was. Yeah.
Reggie, Wendell Saylor here. Is there any game plan that you go in with or you just try and be yourself? And that's what I remembered about you. You're one of my favourites along with Trev back in the day. You were just being yourself, and then all of a sudden you're the champ, and I was so happy for you.
Oh, look, I've gone in with the same thing. I only can be myself. I'm not I'm not one that uses their brain very well.
Welcome to the club. So,
well, you know, like strategic. Like people are very good at doing that kind of stuff, and that's just not me. So. I've just, same thing, I've just got to be myself and enjoy the ride again.
Speaking of being yourself, you had a bit of fun on Big Brother on Monday night. Let's have a listen.
Oh my God, I've not.
To ask a question, simply talk into the microphone and whatever you say will be converted into Big Brother's voice, word for word.
I'll be buggered.
I'll be buggered.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So that's a computer we're talking to. Are you wearing any undies?
Are you wearing any undies?
Doodle?
And now your turn, Tim.
Very good, Reggie. How much fun was that?
Oh, that was so funny, eh? Like, I don't even remember saying that, but Big Brother, I didn't believe him. Like, I thought, surely our voices aren't, this isn't going to happen. And then that's when I was testing him and said, doodle. And then, that was so funny. It was hilarious.
Mate, we loved you.
That was a good task because we had the housemates, we dunked them in the pool. It was good.
Good on you, mate. We loved you back in 2003. No doubt we'll love you this year as well. Please just have the best possible time. We've got our money on you and hope you win it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, hoping all things go well for me.
Good on you. Good on you, Reggie. You're an absolute legend. There's Reggie from Big Brother. Make sure Big Brother is back Monday night, 7:30 on Channel 7. Don't miss it. Boys, want to talk about our doppelgangers. We're on the hunt for people that consider themselves to be a bit of Gus 2.0, Jude 2.0 and Dell 2.0 because we want them to participate in the Sutherlander Surf on the Rush Hour's behalf. But we've added some stuff to it. Another $250 now for every person that runs for us, as well as coming in and seeing us, watching the show, hanging out with us for a couple of hours. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Jude, Dell and Gus. Time now for this. We've got two strong hearts. And tell everyone what this game's all about, Jude, because it's Dell and I again
it's
today.
It's my favourite game to play with you two simpletons. And all it is, all it is for our wonderful listeners is just I'm going to throw out five categories mm-hmm. and you're going to have 3 seconds to answer each category and you've got to guess the same answer.
Yeah, okay.
So when we're saying a particular category, think of the most obvious answer.
It's hard to live in Dell's brain because he is not a simpleton at all, actually. No. He's actually very out there.
Yes. But play along in the car as well.
Creative. Yes.
Here we go.
Gorgeous.
Okay. A soup flavour in 3, 2, 1.
Chicken. Tomato. Tomato soup.
Chicken, mate. Chicken.
Tomato soup.
Chicken. No one.
You are a...
Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Both good answers, to be fair.
They're both good answers. Yeah, yeah. All right. We're not on the board.
Yeah.
A type of red wine in 3, 2, 1.
Pinot Noir.
We're on the board.
Come on, Dell.
That's my wife's favourite.
Part of an airplane in 3, 2, 1.
Engine. Coffin.
Both good answers.
Plenty of different parts.
I don't know why I'm thinking about the cockpit. I don't know.
No wings beneath them.
Beneath our wings, your wings. Okay, one from three.
It's actually wind.
Come on.
A theme park in 3, 2, 1.
Disneyland.
Luna Park, mate. Local Sydney. Luna Park is just about 5 minutes away. Honestly, no one wants to go to Disneyland, mate. We've gone through COVID.
No one wants to go to Disneyland. We all want to go to Luna Park.
this is terrible.
It's outstanding display of mediocrity. Okay. Something you'd find in a swimming pool. 3, 2, 1.
Water. Togs. What did he say?
Togs.
Oh, togs.
Togs.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's water.
Yeah, I know.
Water's the answer,
yeah,
isn't it?
Water's the answer.
Once again.
One.
These guys have just let us all down.
Up next, it's me with the Magic Round Preview.
The Rush Hour on Triple M.
Welcome back to The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now for this.
The Rush Hour's NRL Preview. Thanks to DoorDash, official delivery partner of the NRL.
Yeah, of course, it's Magic Round. You're up there, big fella, in Brisbane. First match you're going to be calling, the Bulldogs versus the Knights.
Yeah, the Bulldogs and the Knights here. The Knights have some players back. Obviously, in the paper today, Kevvy Walters is certainly back. That man, Ponga. And I know, Gus, you've had a bit to say on it, which is, you know, if you want the big dollars, you want to show commitment, he has to lead, not from the front, but... Oh, look, for me, they've got like 3 or 4 players back now. They just can't get a rhythm going at the moment, and they're not playing like Newcastle do. But you know what? I like what the Bulldogs are doing. The Bulldogs, they're having a go. I know they probably haven't got the players as yet. Obviously, kick out and Reid Marnie again in the next year. But, you know, they're trying. And against Canberra last week, there was chances for them to win that game. But, mate, yeah, I'm going the Bulldogs here. And you know what? The Bulldogs are favourites.
Your boys, the Broncos, obviously had a great win against Rabbitohs last week. They're up against the Seagulls.
Yeah, look, I've got to call it as I see it. I just think there's more upside here to Manly. Broncos have played really well. Sal and Cobbo has been great on the wing. But Billy Wallace has done a good job at hooker. And I just think they're playing well as a team, the Broncos. And they're young players. You know, they're doing a really good job. You know, young Hetherington, Kobe Hetherington, he's playing like a young man possessed. So I reckon when you get 30 to 50 games around that first grade appearance, that's when, you know, and I think TC Rabadi, one of the best names in the game, TC Rabadi's playing some really good football. But also, Capewell's back, and then obviously, you know, one of their big guns, the other big gun, he's back as well. So it's going to be great for the Broncos. But, mate, I'm going the Seagulls. I just think with Tommy Turbo, it's going to be wet conditions. And on the back of DCE's kicking game, DCE is playing great football at the moment. So for me, I'm doing this game with it's me, Maroon, and one of my great mates, Gordon Tullis. So we're calling this game. I'm excited.
Okay, what about the Warriors and the Rabbitohs?
Yeah, look, I think the Rabbitohs, you know, Cam Murray, you know, he's another. There's another concern for New South Wales. Unlucky, I feel, because you want to see the best players play, but like Cam Murray's going to be gone for 4 to 6 weeks. But I just think today it's up to Cody Walker. Saturday it's up to Cody Walker to get his team going. The Warriors have been so hot and cold. I just don't know what to expect from the Warriors. But Jason Demetrio now, he needs to get his team back on track, and I'm sure the Bunnies can do that.
The Titans and the Dragons, they both come off the back of losses to the Roosters and the Storms, respectively. We spoke to Woodsy, such an important game for them.
Yeah, it is an important game. We did speak to Woodsy, and this is an important game for the Dragons. The Dragons have got a 45% winning record at Suncorp Stadium. The Titans, for me, I just can't get a gauge on them. Obviously, you know, Foz has obviously moved to the Titans. That's going to help them. But I just think their other big guns have got to fire. You know, Jared Wallace at the moment, there's been a few things said about him in and around the media. But the Titans, you know, Brimson, he's gone from fullback to 5'8". They've got to find their mojo. But on the back of that young spine, they just can't get it going. The Dragons for me.
What about the grand final to come, Storm versus Panthers?
Oh, mate, this is going to be in the wet boys, because obviously there's been flooding in and around Queensland, especially, you know, the Darling Downs and in and around Brisbane. It hasn't stopped raining since I got here, and apparently it was raining 3 days before. So hopefully Suncorp Stadium holds up. But look, the Storm have got a great record there. They've got a few injuries at the moment. Panthers beat them here last year. I think the Panthers will get this on the back of Cleary, his kicking game. I know the Storm have got a great kicking game, but this is a cracking game. And people said, oh, this will be the grand final. We saw what happened last week. Mate, it's going to be such a long season. Parramatta are going to come. The Sharks are going to come firing. You know, the Cowboys are playing good football. The Cowboys are thereabouts now, but I'm going the Panthers here on a tight one.
Sharks and Raiders. The Raiders had a good win over the Dogs, but you can't go past the Sharks, surely, here.
Yeah, look, I've got to go to the Sharks. The Sharks are my sleepies, you know, in the top four. I reckon they can get to the top four, and I reckon they can cause a few headaches back end of the season. Raiders, for me, have been disappointing this year. I keep backing the Raiders. They keep upsetting me. Last week, they beat the Dogs. They've got some really good players in and around there, but Ricky'd be disappointed at the moment, the way they're playing. The Raiders can still make a run, even though they've been, you know, disappointing, but I just can't see the Sharks losing this game.
Two teams that were expected to be in the top four. The Roosters, they've been iffy. The Parramatta side, a little bit iffy, but a great win last week. Who do you see wins this one?
Yeah, well, I didn't have the Eels in my top four because I don't trust them. You know, they have some injuries, and I don't know, they're so inconsistent. But a good thing for the Eels is, they knocked Penrith off last week. The Roosters, for me, they've been a bit hot and cold. And, you know, this. Speaking about loyalty, now you're going to try and move Luke Keary on. Gus, you guys are red hot, dude. You're going to try and clear the deck for Cam Munster. But for me, I'm going to go the Eels here. What the Eels showed me last week was what they can do when the real Eels step up. Ray Price gave them a rocket. I think you spoke about that last week, Gus. And I just think it's Suncorp Stadium. I just think the Eels can get this win. It'll be a tight one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Roosters go toe-to-toe with them. And I wouldn't be surprised if this match goes to Golden Point.
Oh.
Rounding out Magic Round, Tigers versus North Queensland. The 6-3 Cowboys, they're sitting really nicely in third at the moment.
Yeah, mate, they've got some respect from me now. I start to believe, I think they're a top eight side now, but I still reckon they'll drop to the fifth or eighth position once we start sorting stuff out in and around Origin time. But the good thing for the Cowboys is they won't have too many playing Origin football. The Tigers are playing some good football. They're trying hard, but the Cowboys will get this one to end Magic Round off.
Thanks a lot, Dill. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first four orders. Minimum order value, $20. New DoorDash customers only. And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio on Monday from 4 p.m. on Triple M. Have a great weekend.